Chapter 1. Why do we need something different? This book presents a new approach to building safer systems that departs in important ways from traditional safety engineering. While the traditional approach has worked well for the simpler systems of the past for which they were devised, significant changes have occurred in the types of systems we are attempting to build today and the context in which they are being built. These changes are stretching the limits of safety engineering. Point 1. Fast pace of technological change. Although learning from past accidents is still an important part of safety engineering, lessons learned over centuries about designing to prevent accidents may be lost or become ineffective when older technologies are replaced with new ones. Technology is changing much faster than our engineering techniques are responding to these changes. New technology introduces unknowns into our systems and creates new paths to losses. Point 2. Reduced ability to learn from experience. At the same time that the development of new technology has sprinted forward, the time to market for new products has greatly decreased, and strong pressures exist to decrease this time even further. The average time to translate a basic technical discovery into a commercial product in the early part of the century was 30 years. Today our technologies get to market in 2 to 3 years and may be obsolete in 5. We no longer have the luxury of carefully testing systems and designs to understand all the potential behaviors and risks before commercial or scientific use. Point 3. Changing nature of accidents. As our technology and society change, so do the causes of accidents. System engineering and system safety engineering techniques have not kept up with the rapid pace of technological innovation. Digital technology, in particular, has created a quiet revolution in most fields of engineering. Many of the approaches to prevent accidents that worked on electromechanical components, such as replication of components to protect against individual component failure, are ineffective in controlling accidents that arise from the use of digital systems and software. Point 4. New types of hazards. Advances in science and societal changes have created new hazards. For example, the public is increasingly being exposed to new man-made chemicals or toxins in our food and our environment. Large numbers of people may be harmed by unknown side effects of pharmaceutical products. Misuse or overuse of antibiotics has given rise to resistant microbes. The most common safety engineering strategies have limited impact on many of these new hazards. Point 5. Increasing complexity and coupling. Complexity comes in many forms, most of which are increasing in the systems we are building. Examples include interactive complexity related to interaction among system components, dynamic complexity related to changes over time, decompositional complexity where the structural decomposition is not consistent with the functional decomposition, and nonlinear complexity where cause and effect are not related in a direct or obvious way. The operation of some systems is so complex that it defies the understanding of all but a few experts, and sometimes even they have incomplete information about the system's potential behavior. The problem is that we are attempting to build systems that are beyond our ability to intellectually manage. Increased complexity of all types makes it difficult for the designers to consider all the potential system states or for operators to handle all normal and abnormal situations and disturbances safely and effectively. In fact, complexity can be defined as intellectual unmanageability. This situation is not new. Throughout history, inventions and new technology have often gotten ahead of their scientific underpinnings and engineering knowledge, but the result has always been increased risk and accidents until science and engineering caught up to one. We are now in the position of having to catch up with our technological advances by greatly increasing the power of current approaches to controlling risk and creating new improved risk management strategies. Footnote to point 5. As an example, consider the introduction of high-pressure steam engines in the first half of the 19th century, which transformed industry and transportation but resulted in frequent and disastrous explosions. While engineers quickly amassed scientific information about thermodynamics, the action of steam in the cylinder, the strength of materials in the engine, and many other aspects of steam engine operation, there was little scientific understanding about the buildup of steam pressure in the boiler, the effect of corrosion and decay, and the causes of boiler explosions. High-pressure steam had made the current boiler design obsolete by producing excessive strain on the boilers and exposing weaknesses in the materials and construction. Attempts to add technological safety devices were unsuccessful because engineers did not fully understand what went on in steam boilers. It was not until well after the middle of the century that the dynamics of steam generation was understood. Point 6. Decreasing tolerance for single accidents. The losses stemming from arch dents are increasing with the cost and potential destructiveness of the systems we build. New scientific and technological discoveries have not only created new or increased hazards such as radiation exposure and chemical pollution, but have also provided the means to harm increasing numbers of people as the scale of our systems increases and to impact future generations.